Bring in Joe Fisher, voice of the Commodores in our Ferguson Bath Kitchen and Lighting Gallery.
With all
hotline.
Due respect to Joe.
Right. Exactly right. Joe, this season, though, for Bobby Johnson and these coaches, it had to have them banging their heads against the wall, maybe more than any other since they've been here. You know, you have 8 home games. They had some opportunities, and, you know, a couple plays go their way, and they're 7-5 and looking at a bowl.
Yeah, and then we're probably talking about other schools trying to talk to Bobby, too,
right.
You know, when you get down to it. And Frank, I remember a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, you asked me about, you know, teams coming after Bobby, and I think I said at that time, of course, I know Clemson came up, you know, Tommy Bowden was kind of, you know, looking at Arkansas at the time, and we said then it would be difficult for a school like that to pursue Bobby because he had not really won at Vanderbilt yet. But it made perfect sense to me when I heard Duke. You know, a program that's very similar in a lot of ways, dealing with an athletic conference and you know, trying to find somebody who's done it and has obviously improved a program here. So it made perfect sense that they would want to talk to him. I found out about it yesterday and talked to Bobby a little bit yesterday, not much. They had the football banquet yesterday afternoon, so that took up the majority of the time for the day. But I'm not surprised he's going to go take a look. I think it is a lot of credit to what he's done here. You know, I think he's obviously built this program into credibility now nationwide, certainly in the conference. And it made sense for me that he would go look. Duke has already improved some facilities to a degree and is committed to do more. But, you know, there are a lot of things that probably come into play that make it at least worth a look. Bobby's from Carolina, not North Carolina, but he's a Carolina guy. You know, and you were talking about Carl Durrell from UCLA as a candidate, and maybe he is. But one of the advantages to having a Bobby Johnson is he already knows the recruiting area. You know, he's got that. He certainly knows this area, although you're going to recruit nationwide for a school like Duke, as you do for Vanderbilt. He's kind of got that already covered.
Does that make Vanderbilt step up, you think, to put the pressure on them, almost like LSU did for Les Miles, to say, hey, you know, we covet our coach, and we're going to make it hard for him to leave. We're going to do, you know, make him some promises and up his pay so that he doesn't feel the need to leave.
Well, I some of that's already been in the works. You know, there are already discussions about improvements to the stadium and to the football, to the building where the offices are and meeting rooms and locker rooms and those kind of things. That's already sort of in the works to a degree. Of course, the job hasn't been offered. Don't know if it even will be. At this point, but I'm sure that David Williams and the administration are committed to keeping Bobby Johnson as Vanderbilt's football coach, and we'll see how that all plays out if it becomes necessary. I know they've interviewed one or two other candidates. I think, is it Rob Broadway from Grambling, who was a former assistant at North Carolina and Florida and several other places? I think he's interviewed. I know they wanted Paul Johnson to interview, but he, you know, went to Georgia Tech. So I'm not sure if Bobby's just on a list of candidates or if he has become their number one candidate, and I guess we'll know that pretty soon.
Joe, to talk about basketball over the weekend, Lipscomb came over to Memorial Gym for a game back on Saturday night. It was close for a while and into the second half, and then Vanderbilt kind of pulled things away with some good three-point shooting, for one thing, by Shane Foster.
Well, I thought it was interesting. It kind of demonstrated something excuse me, that we haven't seen much of, that this is a Vanderbilt team that can beat you a number of different ways. You know, A.J. Ogilvy started out just pounding them inside. He had 18 points in the first half, and they had no answer for it, and started to get some Lipscomb players in foul trouble. And as you said, the game got down to an 8-point game in the second half. And then because of all the foul trouble and getting the ball inside, Lipscomb went to the zone defense.
And then Shane Foster's eyes lit up.
Three straight threes and just torched them. And Alex Gordon hit a couple, and that kind of blew it open. And so... and Scott Sanderson even said after the game, well, you just have to pick how you're going to play them. You're going to try to defend them inside, you're going to try to defend them outside, and that's what's going to make Vanderbilt a dangerous team, is they have the flexibility to be able to beat you in a number of ways.
And a tough day for the women's team yesterday against Colorado.
18 minutes without a field goal. You know, you're not going to win many games like that. And then they're down 20, and then go on a 17-0 run, cut it to 3, and get the ball. Took a shot and missed it, and then Colorado went to the other end, I think, and got fouled. And you kind of felt like at that point maybe they had used up all the energy on the run and weren't able to get over the hump. So Colorado upsets two top 25 teams back-to-back in Wyoming and Vanderbilt. So tough loss. And, Liz Sherwood played well inside. They just didn't shoot the ball very well and turned the ball over too much.
Joe, visit with you again tomorrow.
Okay.